Not that this interview is all about me, but as I sit down this evening to talk with actors Zena Camblin and Bryant Bentley about the play they're performing at Ensemble Theatre Cincinnati, it's called Dominique Morisseau's Detroit 67, I want to say that I graduated from high school in 1967. I wasn't in Detroit, but I was near Cleveland, Ohio, a city that experienced a lot of racial unrest, as did many other urban centers in that era. So even though it's almost 50 years ago, this show has a vivid and real meaning for me, and I suspect it will for many who attend it, starting with the opening this coming Thursday. Zena's been at ETC once before. She's a Cincinnati native. She was in a 2006 show there called String of Pearls. She's an actor and a playwright, so we're glad to have her here. Bryant, who hails from Dayton and lives in Columbus, is making his Cincinnati stage debut, but he's performed at lots of places around the country. So you're both playing a brother and a sister living in Detroit, trying to get by. Let's start with each of you describing your character and her or his perspective on the circumstances that they're coping with. Zena, let's start with you.
I'm playing Shell, the sister, and in the beginning of the play, she's getting ready for a party because they throw the basement parties, and so she's busy kind of getting the house ready for that.
Let me ask you one quick question. You call it a basement party, but it's not just like, oh, well, let's have a party in the basement. It's an ongoing thing.
Yes, they use these parties to make money.
Okay.
So she talks about how this money helps pay for the house note and things like that. So these are, this is how they make their income. So she's getting ready and cleaning and doing things like that. And Shell pretty much stays in the basement during this time. She's the one who hunkers down and keeps busy. That keeps her kind of in denial about what's really going on outside. So she's the hermit. She's the type A who's cleaning in order to deal with what's happening.
And she's probably the one also who has dealt with the parents passing and all the fallout from that.
Exactly. Her parents died. She talks about that. Her husband passed also. Her son is in college. And so these parties are also helping him get through school. He's at Tuskegee. So
she's working hard to get by.
Exactly. Working hard to get by.
Okay. And then there's Lank.
Yes.
Bryant, tell us about Lank.
Lank is Shell's brother. He contributes to this party. Lank is a dreamer.
He's younger, too.
He's a younger brother, and he has a lot of ambitions to do more than just run these bootleg joints. And there's some opportunities that came his way with him and his partner, Sly, to buy a business instead of running the bootleg joints in the basement. He's looking to make it legit and run a legitimate business. Just wrong timing.
Yeah. It's an either-or choice, is that right?
Yeah.
You really can't do both of these things that brother and sister are thinking about here.
Right.
That's sort of the conflict of the story. Lynn Myers, who is Ensemble's artistic director, who's staging Detroit 67, says she likes plays that tell a personal story against a backdrop of a bigger event. And that's certainly what's going on here. Talk a little bit about, so it's Detroit 67. Maybe our listeners, some may remember, but let's give them a little bit of background. What's happening in Detroit?
Well, there are these riots going on, and I believe it started with a somewhat small event. The Vietnam vets who had come home who were having a party, and the cops came and kind of raided it. And from there, it was like a small spark that just caught flame. I believe it was a week long. Mm. And just got worse and worse and worse. And I kind of went back and did some research and looked at some videos on this, and I was just blown away by what I saw, people burning up their own neighborhoods, the city, the businesses, which, of course, reminded me of recent events in Ferguson. And I was just, the parallels were uncanny. I was just blown away.
And that is one of the interesting aspects of this. What about you, Bryant? What kind of perspective do you have on this?
A lot of it is dealing with even the police brutality that existed even then, and just amazing that you look back as far as 67 when you have all these riots and fights and police just picking on people for no reason and to today's time.
Yeah. And Shell and Lank are being picked on, sort of. I mean, they are doing something that's a little bit outside the law with running these after-hours clubs, but the police keep raiding them.
Yeah. There were certain particular popular places where you can go and party, and we were one of the competitors. But I guess as the riots continued to flourish, the police began to really put the hammer down and seek out these places. And so I think with what was happening with Lank, he was tired of that.
Most of this happens in the basement of the house. What has been done scenically and that sort of thing? How do we evoke the era?
We went on set, and the first time we went on set, we were all just staring. I mean, we just could not stop staring at the set. Brian has done an unbelievable job.
That's Brian Mehring, who's the scenic designer for most of the shows.
And Shannon, every single thing is period. Every prop is from that era. Every article, every magazine, every picture, everything on stage, the furniture, the washer dryer. You walk in there and it feels like a home, which is so great for actors.
So you're really able to sort of step into the past and do this. Even if you're both too young to really have been there, you can feel like you've stepped into the Wayback
Machine.
Exactly,
like a time capsule.
Yeah. Bryant, anything in particular? What do you see on the walls and that sort of thing?
Oh, man. There's even a calendar of 1967. This calendar.
Yeah. Having attended a lot of shows at Ensemble, I will say that the set dressing that Shannon Lutz does there is really wonderful stuff, so specific to the period, evocative and that sort of thing. But it has to be wonderful for you as actors to be in the midst of something like that.
Oh, yes. There's this record player on stage that I have fallen in love with, the old school record players with the 45s, and it's incredible.
Even when it skips.
Even when it skips, I still love it. My character doesn't, but Zena. Mm.
The opening scene has Shell talking to the record player, telling him to behave itself.
So. Mm-hmm.
The show, as you've made some mention, talks about black-white issues pretty square on from a period that's 50 years ago. But as you mentioned, with Ferguson happening recently, a lot of that stuff really hasn't faded away. It's not like we aren't still experiencing some of those kinds of things. So what do you think is the ultimate effect of this show? Is it to remind us that we aren't there yet? Does it hold out a hopeful message at all as we go through the story?
I believe it is definitely a hopeful message at the end. Really what you just said, it does remind you of what's going on. There's still a lot of change that needs to happen. And it also kind of puts a mirror in front of you to allow you to see where you stand, even from 67 to today. So I think that if our audience that comes, I really truly believe that they're going to definitely leave out of here with a positive message. It's a love story as well. So I think that what this playwright has done, she's touched on a little bit of everything. So there are definitely some positive.
It's a very human story that people can relate to.
Yes.
Zena, anything you wanted to add to that?
I don't think there's any way that people who come see this show won't think of the recent events in Ferguson because the parallel is just so similar. But this play does have, I won't say a happy ending, but I will say a hopeful ending.
Wonderful.
Which I think is important.
I want to ask you both just your thoughts about Dominique Morisseau. She's a rather young playwright. This play, in fact, however, won a major prize, the Edward M. Kennedy Prize for Drama Inspired by American History. It's actually a $100,000 prize, pretty amazing amount for a playwright. And Zena, I know you've done some playwriting. You may want to consider getting your name in for that one. And I understand, I don't know if you guys know this, that it's part of a trilogy of plays that she is working on that are about stuff happening in Detroit, more or less during the 20th century. Zena, maybe you would have some thoughts about her as a playwright, since you are a writer yourself.
Definitely. Dominique and I kind of grew up together, if you will, in New York City as playwrights. We were both there around the same time and working together, doing some teaching, and just seeing her during that time. It's just amazing. She's very driven, incredibly intelligent, profound writer, and just so honored to be a part of this play that she's done.
And Brian, what about her words for an actor? Are they working well for you as you put this action together?
I think as an actor, part of the process is finding those through lines. And there are some moments that you can say that if you're thinking a certain thing, it kind of resonates on the paper. There are some moments there where it really resonates for me. What's really crazy about it is that I can really compare a lot of this story to my personal life. There are some things that happen in the play that I've actually personally experienced, just a different time.
Well, that's something that an accomplished writer can achieve that makes the work all the more powerful, both for audiences and actors.
Yeah.
Detroit 67 opens this week on Wednesday. It will be on stage at Ensemble Theater Cincinnati through April the 5th. If you've never attended a show at ETC, you are eligible for a pair of affordable try-us-out tickets For more information about this and Ensemble Theater, look for a link at WVXU.org. My guests this evening have been Zena Camblin and Bryant Bentley, actors playing a sister and brother caught up in history in Dominique Morisseau's Detroit 67 this month at Ensemble Theater Cincinnati. Thanks for coming in to talk about your production.
Thank you for having us.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.
Hey, I long for you. Yes, we will.